Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Playing that music because we're bringing in the athletic director from Texas A&M University. Russ Bjork is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Big game this Saturday, Florida coming to town. Ross, how are you?
John, I'm doing great. How about yourself? Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate you being here. So you were just on. Anything you can relate to us about what's going on SEC-wise this weekend?
Well, obviously, we're monitoring the Gulf. I just looked at the latest storm track, and it looks like it's kind of shifted a little bit west based on the latest projection, and it's accelerating faster. I think last night it was going to be maybe off the coast Friday morning, and now it looks like it might be inland by Friday morning now. So it's speeding up a little bit, and I don't think it'll have any weather impacts on our game, but I just literally things are so fluid that you're watching this LSU-Missouri game being moved to 11 o'clock. I don't anticipate TV changing our game time, but again, as we said here, it's all fluid and things change by the minute, and we'll be ready to pivot if we have to, but I don't anticipate it. But you never know. And then you got the Ole Miss Alabama game. If that storm just kind of goes right up Mississippi, then that could be impacted. So just monitoring all those things. 2020, it's one of those years, right?
Yeah, as if COVID wasn't enough. Now all these hurricanes coming in. Did they move the LSU game for sure to Missouri, or is it still?
They did. Yeah. They did. They made that announcement early this morning. And, so 11 o'clock in Columbia. So I guess Missouri gets an extra home game out of this.
Right. Is anybody worried about, like, Florida travel? I know Tulane is coming here today to play tomorrow night against U of H. There was some talk about worrying about travel for them. What about travel for Florida? Is there any issue there?
We don't believe so. We checked in with Florida yesterday afternoon and don't anticipate them having any travel problems. But again, if this storm is accelerating, maybe they have to either leave earlier or leave later, depending on what happens. But don't anticipate them having any travel issues at this point in time.
Yeah. Ross Bjork with us, Texas A&M Athletic Director here on ESPN 97.5. So I was watching the Georgia game last week. Didn't look like there was a lot of social distancing so much.
Yeah.
The SMU game, they had to kick the students out of the end zone, and because there was zero social distancing. What did you experience in your first game with Vanderbilt? Did you have any problems with that?
No, I appreciate you asking that. And that's the message that we're trying to get across this week is I believe overall we did really, really well for the Vanderbilt game. Our plan was in place. We had all the protocols. We didn't have any tailgating issues. People understood that there was no tailgating. Entering the stadium was good. The first half, I think, was really good. And then people we just let our guard down, right? I mean, that's just a natural human instinct that you're in the stadium for 3 hours. And so we had people migrate mainly into the student section that didn't have a ticket in there. The face covering wasn't as good as compliance as we had in the first half. And then our staff, we had some staffing issues that we're responsible for that we need to clean up. And we had some mixed messages. We had some of our security staff telling people they had to keep their mask on in their seat. And we had some security staff tell people that they could take it off. And so we obviously have to reemphasize that people have to have their mask on at all times unless they're eating or drinking. And then we need people just to stay in their assigned seat. So I think overall we did really well. But we also know that we've got these requirements that we have to enforce and monitor. And so I think we'll see a better improvement for the Florida game this Saturday. And we're all learning, right? It's all the fans are learning, we're learning, our staffs are learning. But we've only got four home games, and we don't want to go backwards. We don't want to lose this opportunity. So we just need to stay consistent, and we need to stay disciplined throughout the game.
Yeah. Is it – what's your percentage of a stadium?
We're at 25%. Mm-hmm. So that means we could have – we had 24,000 people at the Vanderbilt game. We could have up to 27,000 people in our stadium based on our capacity of 110,000. There's not been a sporting event that's had 24,000 people at it except Texas A&M. And so we want to be the example of how to do it the right way. We don't want to see those other examples that have happened around the country. So we're 25%, and we just, again, we don't want to go backwards. I don't know if we'll be able to increase those percentages throughout the year because it is a shortened season, but we just need to keep reminding people and just stay consistent.
Ross Bjork is with us here on ESPN 97.5. I don't want to be a smart aleck, but I can't help it. So this COVID-19, it's so smart it can tell the difference between a bar and a restaurant. And right. It can tell the difference between the parking lot and the stadium. I don't understand the no tailgating thing.
Yeah, I think, John, one of the things that we've learned, again, outside, there's a lot of science, a lot of data that says the virus, you know, dissipates outside. It's going to be 85 to 90 degrees on Saturday. You're outside, there's air movement. So you're exactly right. But we also know that gatherings, especially in a social setting where maybe things are a little tighter, constrained, maybe you're under a tent. Obviously, if you're in a poorly ventilated restaurant, bar, or house, that those do lead to more susceptible virus transmission. And so I totally understand it. But the issue is we've got, you know, government orders, we've got mandates, we've got things like that we have to make sure that we are providing the safest environment possible. And I also think that, yeah, some people are ready to go out and be in large gatherings, and some people aren't. And so we need to make sure that we're respecting everyone, and that's what we're trying to do with just by saying, let's ease into this. Let's not let outside the stadium impact our ability to have fans and obviously the ability to play the game as well. So just taking it in a step-by-step manner.
So you had 24, and you can have 27. I know the Texans last game they had in each. I mean, by Friday they were still saying, "Hey, we've got tickets available," and they only had 13,000. Do you think people are more hesitant to go to stay? Is it that you could have sold more, but you didn't, or you only sold that many, and you're going to up it, or do you think people are being more cautious now?
Yeah. I believe for us anyway, based on our community and kind of the number of cases, I think we could have sold more than the 27,000. I really believe that, especially our students. Our students were ready to, but we needed to cap it. We needed to cap it at 25. And then we gave people the ability to choose. It's their choice to come or not. We're not making anyone come to the game, but if they do come, we need to have the right protocols in place and follow all the mandates and the health officials authority and things like that. And so I do think that people will come, but it's their choice. And then you have other people that maybe they're in an at-risk category. Maybe it's their age. Maybe it's a health issue that they're just saying, hey, this year I'm going to set this one out. I'll watch this one on TV. So we've heard both sides of it. And again, we're just trying to do the right thing for everybody, accommodate those that want to come and follow the, you know, the governor's orders and things like that.
Bigger venues and being outside has allowed for fans to be at games, but you have the volleyball season starting next week, and you also have basketball in December. Has there been a determination about how your spectator sports indoors will be in terms of attendance?
Yeah.
Has that been determined?
We're working on that. Volleyball, we start here in a few weeks. we don't really get near the 25% capacity at Reed Arena for volleyball, so we're in good shape from a capacity standpoint. But for basketball as well, we will protect the perimeter of the court, so there won't be like courtside seating. We'll move the scorer's table around. We'll space out the benches. It may be similar to kind of what we've seen in the NBA bubble. Plexiglass with scorers' tables and things like that. Those protocols are being developed as we speak. And obviously we've got a little bit of time, but the indoor capacity would still be around that 25% for basketball and our other sports as well. So a lot more to come. And then similar to what we just talked about with football, we'll give our season ticket holders the opportunity to opt in or opt out. And they'll have the ability to choose their seat locations and things like that. So lots of things to be worked out with our indoor sports still to come.
Ross Bjork, before we go, Texas A&M and Texas are two. I mean, this is no secret. I mean, you guys had the list of the richest sports athletic departments, the richest athletic departments in the country, or, you know, you make the most and have most revenue. How is this even affecting? I know we've seen so many schools that have had to drop. Have you considered dropping sports, or are you? How tough is it to weather the storm here?
It's definitely tough financially. Again, luckily we are at Texas A&M. We've got a good plan, but there has been a significant impact. We're not in a position where we believe that sports have to be cut or suspended at this point in time. Our revenues are down about $55 million between the athletic department and the 12th Man Foundation because of the football piece. That could go up or down depending on how the season ends up, depending on do we sell all of those 27,000 tickets, do we have to give any more refunds. But it's about a $55 million impact. And then we've been able to make significant cuts in our budget operationally to come up with about half of that number. And then we're still working on how to mitigate the other half. It may be some borrowing. It may be some reserve money. It may be some one-time money. The rest of that is all being determined. It's kind of the ticket situation. It's all fluid. It's like the game on Saturday. It's all fluid. But we have a plan, and we'll get through it. And we don't anticipate having to make any severe cuts like you described.
That's good. That's good stuff. Well, man, best of luck Saturday. Tickets still available right now or no?
We're not selling any single game tickets. Our students are picking up tickets as we speak through our ticket pull system. They can buy some guest tickets, but right now there's no single game tickets unless you go through like StubHub or a secondary outlet.
Gotcha. Well, good stuff.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a big
mask.
Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much.
Ross Bjork, Texas A&M University Athletic Director, right here on ESPN 97.5.
And if you missed it, he did say at the very end, wear your mask.
Yeah.
The athletic director is telling you.
Wear
your mask.
Or don't come.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
He'd rather have you wear your mask and come than not show up.
He'd rather violate your rights.
Well, that is the message they're trying to get around. They don't want that to be the message. They would like you to accept this particular sacrifice so you can enjoy watching Texas A&M football in person.
In person. Be there.
Yeah. Aloha. I mean, do you want to be there on Saturday?
Unfortunately, you can't grill out there because there's no
tailgating. No tailgating. As you mentioned, the virus. The virus isn't smart. It just is. It's not fearful of normal sunshine, but grill heat doesn't want any part of it.
No. Can't have a grill. But you can grill at home. You can still grill at home because the virus doesn't know about your grill at home.
No, the virus does know, but I would think they would allow tailgating because the grill heat is a killer to the virus, right? That's what I've been told.
Right.
So that's why you go get a Texas Star Grill.
It's Texas Star Grill Shop. That's where you go. There's three locations, a fourth opening up as we speak right now. I go to the 59 at Shepherd location, but there's Spring and there's Katy for those of you that live, you know, in other states. So if you're looking for the best way to get the fall grill sale going on right now. When I bought mine last week, it was like, oh my gosh, the selection is unbelievable. And Lance mentioned it. You can buy meat there. All of the rubs, all of the utensils that you could possibly need. all of the everything that you pellets and wood chips and all the stuff that you and charcoal, everything that you need for your grill. But the grill is the that's the star of the show. Mine is the DCS. It's fantastic. I had to choose between the 2020 and the 2019, and it was just it was so hard. I'm telling you, when you go there, you'll be like, I don't know. There's so many great grills here. I got to make a choice. I got to do it. And I did it. I finally pulled it, and I pulled the trigger, and I'm like, I love it. I love it, and you're going to love yours too. But you got to get there, Texas Star Grill Shop. You got the best in sales. You got the free installation and delivery. It's all going on at TexasStarGrillShop.com.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with
this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. 1020 ESPN 97.5. Thanks, Ross Bjork. Good stuff. Texas A&M in Florida. Who you got?
You know what? I actually like A&M. In this one, it's a game that determines their year. Kind of, it's week three, but it does.
I like that their best receiver is a tight end, as opposed to Jalen Waddle.
Yeah,
you know?
Now Kyle Pitts will split out, and he's still a matchup problem. But the problem with A&M against Alabama was it was Jalen Waddle and John Mechie and then Devontae Smith.
Can't run with him.
Florida has Kadarius Toney as like this slash type of running back type receiver, kind of like Smith from A&M. What's his name?
Yeah, is that
Anais. Anais, kind of similar to that type of how they'll use him. But they don't have great traditional wideouts, so that'll help them. And I do, but can they put pressure on the quarterback? But I do actually like A&M in this one.
Who catches more passes, Weidermeyer or Pitts?
Pitts does.
I don't know.
Pitts is...
He likes Weidermeyer, though.
Great. But Pitts has caught, what, 6 touchdowns in 2 weeks?
Yeah, but he hadn't faced A&M's defense.
How did that go for Alabama?
Tough.
Yeah.
How many red zone scores did they have?
They didn't need them because they were scoring 70 and 80-yard touchdowns. You're right. They didn't need... You're right. Not. They didn't have as many red
Thank
zone
you.
Possessions.
Thank
I
you.
Mean,
just
Najee
admit. Ha- just say,
Najee
yes,
Har-
you're
I think
right.
Najee Harris had a... Maybe scored a
I don't
touchdown.
Want the explanation. Just say yes. You're right.
No. You asked me a question. You didn't say, "Am I right or wrong about?"
Am I right?
Right or about what?
They didn't score many red zone touchdowns. A&M's red zone defense was spectacular.
No, that's not what that is. How many times did they get in the red zone? How many touchdowns were scored? That determines your red zone defense.
Tremendous red zone defense.
Well, I know Najee Harris ran one in, so that's at least one red zone touchdown.
That's all. Thanks.
We'll see. I'll go look at the stats.
Not worried about Florida now.
Florida's good offensively. The tight end's going to be a problem. But I do think A&M can have some success throwing the football.
Yep.
And so I kind of like them in this game. I mean, if you lose this one and you're 1-2, now the schedule gets easier. I say that, but you still have LSU and others and Auburn. You got to win this game. You got to.
Yep.
Find a way. I don't know how, but find a way to
win. This is the game. You got to win. Okay, Alabama, I
got
it.
Fine, on the road, you lost.
That's
okay.
Right.
But this is the game you should win.
That's right. Well,
if you believe you're on the trajectory that you think you are, this is a game you win. Maybe not should win, but this is a game you win at home.
Aren't you of the opinion that Florida's probably could be the second best team in the SEC?
I don't. Their defense is still a problem for me as far as where I can put them. They're clearly the third. I still think Georgia is better, even with Stetson Bennett.
Georgia started slow against Arkansas, but man.
And turns out Arkansas is not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Turns out they're not.
Yes. Yeah, so,
how about that?
Yes. And then, but the question for Georgia and Florida will be because Georgia, you saw what Georgia did to Auburn in terms of we're just going to beat you into the ground. You lost Davidson. You lost, what's the other one? Derrick Brown. We're going to punish you. We're going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. I don't know if Florida can hold up against that Georgia offensive line. That I think, and Georgia's defensive line is better than Florida's offensive line. Kyle Trask, as good as he is, won't be so great if he's on his back, which is a cliche, but still, that those fronts for Georgia can be an equalizer in any matchup. So that's why I like Georgia over Florida right now.
But Florida's right there. So this is a good test. But the Aggies are supposed to be right there, so let's prove it.
Yeah, and I think Alabama is at a level that neither Florida or clearly A&M is at. I think A&M is kind of at their level with Florida. At home, should hopefully it is an advantage despite not having your 100K in the crowd. Got to win the game.
Yep. Let's get John in here. Let's talk about tailgating. What do you say, John?
Yeah, I know you were just joking around with the AD there about tailgating. What's the difference between tailgating and in the stadium? But there's so many people that take this narrative really seriously, like bars versus restaurants. Lance knows. I worked at a popular bar downtown for 6 or 7 years. You can't get drunks to do anything. Yeah, a fellow employee that worked there said it perfect. It's adult daycare with alcohol. There's a big difference between having an assigned seat where you don't move around, and when you're in the parking lot, you can move around from tailgate to tailgate, sharing food, sharing alcohol. And then same thing with a club and a restaurant. If you're in a restaurant, you're sitting at a table with people that you came with. You're not mingling or, you know, cavorting with everybody else. And bars are set up to be bars to mingle. There's no other reason for them. I mean, that's just a fact. I have a lot of friends that are suffering because of the bar in the bar industry, but it's just an industry that's taking it bad because of the situation. That's their whole reason for being a bar, is to drink, get drunk, have, you know, mingle, and that's the exact opposite of what the law says we need to do right now.
Yeah, so. No, you make sense. I don't
but
care.
Yeah, but John just likes. John's like getting these jokes off. That's all. That's
I got
all
jokes.
About.
That's all.
John likes getting them jokes off.
I got jokes. That's it. Okay.
And as we mentioned during our talk,
I don't care if you're right.
Ross Bjork. He doesn't care if anyone's right. He just likes saying stuff.
That doesn't fit the narrative.
Not yours, particularly. No. Mizzou, LSU moved because of Hurricane Delta, as Ross Bjork told us. So that is one game affected. We'll see how the rest of the schedule is affected.
It's moved to Missouri, and now it's moved to 11 o'clock.
Early and in Missouri. Maybe because they want LSU to be able to get back. I don't know. Actually, I don't know why it's moved. Maybe TV said, hey, we...
If I was them, I'd stay there.
Yeah, that's another
Maybe
option.
They want to go out in Missouri that night in Columbia.
College town.
Yeah.
Probably not a bad place to be.
Would you rather be in Baton Rouge out on the town or in Columbia?
I've never been either one, so you've been in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, Baton Rouge isn't really... It's not really a college...
A college town?
It's really... I mean, everything revolves around the college, but it's not really a college town per se. Like, Stark Vegas is a college town.
What, Columbia? Isn't that the capital of Missouri? Would that
be
considered
a college
town?
Yeah, it's bigger than... So it's they're both capital,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so it's bigger than just a...
Yeah.
Clemson's a college town.
I wouldn't say... You know, that's not real college town.
Yeah, because they're not...
Lexington is a college town.
Yeah, because it's all about the
school.
It's
all about that.
Yeah, I got you.
Right. Of course, LSU is like that, too, though, but... La Raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
Hey, what's up, Johnny G? What's up, Davidcito? Hey, man, gentlemen, I'll make it quick. Quick shout out to Lazy J, my boy TJ Beaumont. Hey, we had a little discussion right now. By the way, Lazy J said Lakers in fire. He told you.
I don't care.
He wanted me to say that. I don't know. I really don't even care,
to
be honest.
Yeah, who cares what Lazy J has to say about anything?
No, we were discussing this, me and Jay, earlier. Why is it that, like, when people get so butthurt when they throw the bat flip when they make a home run in baseball, like what happened to Acuña and the Braves? But, like, you know, when you throw a three in somebody's face and you start throwing up these gang signs, throwing up Sue Woob and all these stuff, they don't really take the same narrative as what they do with baseball. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah.
Think baseball has, and wrongly, I would say, has this holier-than-thou, we do it a certain way image about itself.
There's a stink between Acuña and the Marlins now.
Yeah, the Marlins said, the pitcher said, I didn't try to hit you, man. I wasn't trying to hit you. So he came out and said yesterday that we weren't trying to target you. Now Acuña said, okay, we'll see. And it kind of jump-started the Braves, right? Weren't the Marlins up like 3-1 or 4-1 at the time? and it got everything going for the Braves. They used it as some type of jumping off point. They went on to win 9-5. So the Marlins were like, we're up. We're not trying to hit you. We're just trying to pitch. I try to come inside. That's how I pitch.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what he said.
I don't know. I kind of feel like Acuna's a target for them. They don't like him.
Well,
it's the division. They don't like it. Acuna probably has bat flipped him a few times because that's what Acuna does. You know what? But it cost him.
And the Marlins are got to probably have a bit of a chip on the shoulder. Been called bottom feeders. We remember. I mean, I don't know if you use the term bottom feeders, but when they were getting hit with COVID, like, whatever. They're the Marlins. No one cares.
Right.
And turns
no
out
no one did care. Turns out no one cared.
Well, what you meant was who cares if they don't ever play the games because they're the Marlins. Turns out they're like, okay, we'll use that. And they made the playoffs, won a series, and now they're in the ALDS.
Yeah, but they beat the Cubs. Does it really matter?
You mean one of the more storied franchises in all of baseball?
Yeah.
I know you don't like the Cubs.
Cubs
but
suck.
People respect the Cubs. It was an upset, wasn't 100 it?
100 years of suck. Cubs suck.
They do. They have won one World Series.
Yeah, they had 100 years. 100 years.
I know you're a transplanted former White Sox fan, but it was a big deal for the Marlins. You guys, everyone was like, screw them. We don't care. Let them all the Marlins get sick. We don't care. Let's play baseball. And the Marlins are like, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty good.
You're okay.
They're okay.
You're still the Marlins.
You mean the team who's never lost a postseason series? Those Marlins?
Yeah. But they've only been in two.
And two for two.
Two.
Thank you. Two for two.
Two. Now three.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're going to lose.
Well,
for the first time. We'll They'll be 2-1.
We'll see. So far,
all right.
Two World Series,
okay.
seven series wins,
mm-hmm.
and they're going for a third
okay.
World Series.
Well,
that's all.
We'll see how that works out for them. We'll see how that works out for them
today.
How
many World Series wins do the Astros have?
You know what I'm going to do while I'm watching, what I've done the last 2 days while I've been watching? That's right, Art. Drinking Coors Light. How's that, Art? How's that? Yeah. Me and my boys, we can go drink Coors Lights all day watching baseball. That's right. We can, Art. Stop being jealous. Like a little jealous B.A., Art.
Isn't this a live spot? Are you supposed to be calling people jealous B.A.s in
a
live spot?
Yeah, because Art wants to drink Coors Lights. But
with you?
You can't. Okay? Sorry, Art. Some of us love cold, clean, crisp, refreshing any time of the day. That's right, Art. That's what we do. So if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, the official beer of me watching any sporting event. That's what it is. It's Texas chill. You know it's chill, but I'm the Blue Mountains, baby. It is so totally sweet. If you're looking for Blue Mountains, if you want to know that your beer is cold, you want to know it's chilled, you want to know you want to chill. If you want to just enjoy your life, not like Art, jealous. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, climb on, brother.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:35, ESPN 97.5. For those of you who weren't with us earlier on, I got some inside scoop, and I don't know. I hadn't heard this thing, this JJ thing, anywhere else. Did you, Del?
No, not anything close to it. Certainly not the detail that you provided.
So I got from inside, and I can't tell you where the source is, but I can tell you that it came from someone who was there on the field at the time. Big fight between JJ and Bob, Bill O'Brien, before the Steelers game on the field. Apparently the two went at it where JJ called O'Brien in front of everybody a shippy coach, but he didn't say shippy.
Mm-hmm.
And then 44 players. Now, it's questionable whether or not some players went to Jack Easterby, and Jack Easterby said, okay, all of you send me a text. That's probably the way it happened. Yeah. I don't think all the guys just automatically texted Jack Easterby. He probably said, I need proof. I need this evidence to show Cal McNair.
Yeah, I don't see 44 guys with being doing that unprompted, just
no.
sending him a text.
No, 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 no. That sounds like
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, it sounds like something. That, well, I've got to have you guys. I can't just
you
tell
guys
Cal
speak
this.
Up. I need you guys to send me proof. I see that happening.
I need the proof. So this was before the Steelers game. So this he went before, and it was thought that he was going to get fired immediately after the Steelers game. They waited a week.
Why would this have occurred day of game? What was there a conversation that they had that JJ didn't react kindly to? Because I would think this would have happened in a practice.
It is a practice.
I thought you said it happened before.
At a practice before the Steelers game.
Okay.
Not before the Steelers game. Practice before the Steelers game. And, yeah, it happened at practice. Everybody went, apparently, everybody, and they sent Jack Easterby the texts. Jack Easterby showed Cal McNair. I don't know that's Easterby going behind Bob's back.
Kind of is.
Yeah, but it's also he's already lost the team.
True. Nothing, Jack, unless Jack Easterby was seeding the field, it didn't appear that the players needed any help not liking Bill O'Brien. Now, what Lord Baelish did to take advantage of that is a different conversation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it does appear that Bill O'Brien had lost his team. And we've seen this before, and we've complimented him on keeping the team together after slow starts. So did his personality never appeared to be a good one. So was it shipping off DeAndre Hopkins, making it appear that this team wasn't capable of competing? Because they've had tough starts on far easier schedules than this, and they've rallied. This time he couldn't keep them.
No, well, a lot. It's on him. I mean, the crappy moves, and then losing the locker room. But he just wasn't good. I mean, he's not a bad coach. He's just.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm not surprised, because it's been been coming, but they've had slow starts.
What's not now? If you notice his demeanor after these losses, he was subdued. I mean, maybe I think this intimates that he was resigned to the fact that he was gone. And then JJ's comments right immediately after, the first thing he said was, "We need to do something different."
Well, I guess when you lose, despite the slow starts, we never heard that he lost JJ. So maybe when you're one of the team leaders, it's clear in his distaste for what's going on, the rest of the team follows.
Yeah.
So that might have been the case. I thought his demeanor to the press conferences was all about, not having anyone there, because he's sitting in this room by himself. Because you could see him even earlier in the season, the first couple games, where his hands are on top of his head. He doesn't have the demeanor of a coach during a press conference, because he can't see anybody. You would just see some things where he's like, well, talking with this.
Yeah,
with his hands in his head, or his head in his hands, and it's like, oh, this is the byproduct of not being around people and just kind of being relaxed and talking.
No, but watching his last couple, though, now knowing these things, you can see a demeanor change. You can see that he is. It appears that he's resigned to the and he's lost a lot of his energy. In years past, when he'd lose, he'd be a bit more testy. He wasn't at all. Not at all.
You think he knew? Now, we didn't see preseason, so we don't know. We'd know nothing about the team other than our speculation and the fact that apparently John Reed was playing well in practice. Do you think he knew that this team was – he didn't have this team going in, and he just hoped winning would cure some of that?
Yeah, well – He can't be that stupid. He has to know that the players that he has gotten rid of, that the locker room knows how stupid it was. He has been defended. I mean, he can't be oblivious to everything said on ESPN, all the criticisms. I mean, he has to know that there's got to be some side-eye glances at him. I mean, he can't be that oblivious. He just
you got to feel it. You would imagine he would just feel the difference. Forget about what is being said about him outside. You would think he would be able to feel the room.
Yeah.
the locker room.
Right.
The entire organization has a different vibe about it than maybe when things are going better before this offseason. I don't think he's dumb. I think he's stubborn, and I think he thought he had a path and a vision for what this team could look like and be successful. He was just wrong about it, and that probably started week one. He probably kind of felt, all right, maybe if we win a game, things will feel different. But I'm with you. I don't think he was surprised. Maybe he was surprised that Cal McNair pulled the trigger this early, but I think he knew that he didn't have this team.
He might have, after that argument with JJ, he might have been surprised that he was still there for the Vikings game.
Well,
I don't know, but all worse. I mean, this was the inevitable outcome of him becoming the general manager and the moves that he made. It was inevitable. You can't do what he did
and then start 0-4
and think, well, I'm fine, everything's great. You can't.
Yeah, because Bill O'Brien, we make the joke, but Bill O'Brien, the coach, couldn't save Bill O'Brien, the GM, and because they're the same person, they both had to go.
I want to see. Because he has said a few times, we all went through this. He said it on his way out. There was all these moves we talked about, and we went and we had meeting after meeting. And I want to see the guys, the analytics people, or any of the people that agreed with the Tunsil deal, with the DeAndre Hopkins deal. I want to see. You know people are going to be going, oh, no. I was totally against that.
Well, that's the Texans' way. It's been that way for a long time.
When
bad things happen, people disavow all knowledge of those having anything to do with it.
Well, I could certainly see where everybody was afraid to voice their opinion, because Chris Olsen voiced his opinion and he's, beat it, you're out. Brian Gain, you disagree? Beat it, you're out. Okay. No, Bill, we can't do that. No, well, really? Because you're out. Because I'm the boss here. I'm the dictator here. I could certainly see that being the case. But if you're an analytics guy and you okayed this thing, you shouldn't work there anymore. Because you didn't stand up for what was right.
Well,
it's awfully easy for me to say, sitting here having a job, but I mean, if you okayed this, if you put a rubber stamp on this thing, then by the way, Jack Easterby, this is as much on you as anybody.
That is not my target, but that is the one I'm looking at. All the people who are subordinates, I mean, at the end of the day, you're working for an NFL team, you want to keep that job. If you know this is what your boss believes in, how strongly are you really going to push back on it, particularly if you're a numbers guy who doesn't have much standing or much status? You're trying to build a career. So I get why you don't do anything. But Jack Easterby at the top of the list, was considered right-hand man, was always mentioned. He should own this, but I have a very strong feeling he doesn't own it. He won't have to. He will find a way out. He's already survived.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even really a purge. They fired Bill O'Brien and appears, at least according to reports, that Jack Easterby will have a big hand in making the next big decisions as far as coaches are concerned.
Yep. 1045 ESPN, 97.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN, 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Del, is this cruel and unusual punishment? Oklahoma corrections officers are in some trouble in an Oklahoma jail. Apparently, they abused four male inmates by handcuffing them to a wall in a standing position for extended periods of time while playing Baby Shark over and over and over again.
I've only heard Baby Shark in snippets when I play it here.
It's,
you, it's,
It is one time. What if you, if it was 2 hours of that straight?
Huh. I couldn't make it. I was trying to convince myself that I could.
No, you couldn't. No, that's cruel and unusual punishment. No, don't. No.
I'm not going to do it for 2 hours.
I don't care. Doing it once is the worst thing I've ever seen. Now it's going to be, I won't be able to sleep tonight. No.
I like the part at the end where it gets dark and they're swimming away from things trying to eat them. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
But what I would judge your time listening to it by what crime you committed. Like if you got caught with some weed, maybe a minute or two. You committed a violent crime, maybe you get the hour.
Hours? No. They've ruled that it's cruel and unusual punishment.
Based on what? Because the song's annoying?
Yes. Yes. No. That is torturous.
I'm turning the show off. It's the end. I said it's the end. Right. That's the last part.
Police are looking for a man, they say, pooped into an empty box before sealing it back up and placing it on a shelf at a Michigan Meijer. What is Meijer? Meijer? Is that a department store or a grocery store?
I'd have to look. I don't know what it
is. I don't know. Meijer. Security footage shows.
It's a grocery store.
It's a grocery store?
Yes.
Yeah. He pooped in the box, sealed it back up, and then put it on the shelf. Do you think you ever did that?
No, I'm aware I've never done it.
You're sure?
No. Yeah, I'm sure. Because you know what? I've never been overcome with the urge to pull down my pants, dump in a box, and put it back on the shelf. You know how you either have to hate that store or person who works there, or you've just got one weird, demented mind, because I don't like pooping with people or sitting next to me. I don't like making road poops. Like, I don't like doing it here and there's a stall,
right,
and there's an actual place for it. If someone comes in, I'm like,
well, what if you had to go when you were in the grocery store?
I would go to the actual bathroom. I've seen like
Kroger's. What if you couldn't make it and you just saw a box there?
Nah.
Do you think?
No.
I think it's possible if you couldn't make it.
It was that bad. You're not opening a box of poop. You're just dropping it, and it happens on the floor. Like we saw that woman who went to the coffee shop or Starbucks or something, and she pulled down her pants and evacuated. If you really have to go, you're not pooping in a box.
Oh man, there's problems in Holland. A Dutch hospital fathered at least 17 children. A Dutch hospital gynecologist fathered at least 17 children using his own sperm without informing the parents. He did this from 1981 to 1993. Do you think he should pay child support?
You know, yes, and I think there's a case to go to prison.
Well, he's dead.
Well, it's going to be difficult for both of those things then.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a crime.
That is a crime. But do you think do you think he's a narcissist a little bit?
That he didn't inform women and then decided to, you know, spread his
seed that he thought, we need more of me around
here. Why? Because God told us to multiply and be multiple or whatever it's called.
You don't want any kids. Do you think you would ever impregnate 18 women, 17 women with your sperm? No,
I wouldn't do it with their knowledge. I'm certainly not going to do it without their knowledge. No.
You ain't going to do it. Yeah, you're not doing it with their knowledge.
Yeah, I'm not doing it either way.
Either way.
They could, not that anyone's looking to continue the Olale line that strongly, but if they were, I'd be like, what's the matter with you? No, we're not doing that.
A former Austin Public Library employee has been arrested, accused of the theft of at least $1.3 million in printer toner over a 12-year period. That seems like a lot.
Who prints anything at home anymore? Like, why are you stealing? What are you stealing printer toner for? When's the last time you printed something at home? In fact, I know you don't, because I'm always the one that has to print it for you.
I know, right?
When's the last time anyone in your life printed something at home?
So the library says they purchased at least $1.5 million worth of toner from October 2007 to 2019. For the library, based on available printer usage, the auditor's office estimated the library would only need about $150,000 worth of toner for that time frame. dude was just...
I got to know what he was... Was he selling it on the open market? Yeah. I got to know.
A black market for toner?
I don't know how big this library is, but they're buying it to service an entire community, possibly. And they were how much over their normal amount?
Only $1.3 million.
So what was he using it for? And where do you store it? There's no way he was printing that many documents.
No, he was selling it on the black toner market.
Selling toner on the open on the black market. Huh. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that's very lucrative, but whatever.
Petco. Apparently, I don't know, they're going to stop selling electronic shock collars for some reason.
Well, you know, because it's harmful to the animal, possibly. Or people are buying them and using it on humans.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe just... They shouldn't sell them at all.
It's harmful.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think it's a great option either way. I can't look. You don't like dogs, but you don't dislike.
What did
them.
The dog say though? That's all I want to know.
The dog didn't say anything. Did he test me? Did he talk back? Look, I know you don't like dogs, but even you aren't shocking. Look, you wouldn't even have a dog, right. So you wouldn't have to deal with it.
What's the dog look like?
I don't think it matters. If it's a Labradoodle, are you okay with it? A Chihuahua, are you okay with it? I think you're okay with any dog getting it. It's, I'm not, I don't own a dog, but I consider myself a dog proponent. The shock collar is unnecessary.
No. California's governor's office tells diners, wear masks in between bites. Do you think
this is why
you're going to go to a restaurant?
No. This is why my home state gets a bad rap. It's not even
because you're stupid?
It's not even a bad rap. It's just
it's
dumb.
Stupid?
You know, I went to a restaurant a couple days ago. And I was getting a little nervous because this restaurant wasn't adhering to whatever the capacity was supposed to be. I don't know what the number is now. I was like, I haven't been around this many people in a long time. I got a little shook. I was like, ooh, there's too many of you in here. I got to go.
I walked into a packed restaurant the other day. Not one person had a mask on, but like I walked in and they were like, sir, you have to have a mask. I'm like, look at this whole restaurant.
No, but they're eating.
It's packed, and not one person has a mask.
Yeah, but we've already served them, sir. So until you get served, you have to wear a mask.
I understand that. That's so dumb. The COVID-19 knows if I'm walking or sitting. Stop.
I'm not saying it's...
And actually, I'm further away from everybody else when I'm walking.
Yeah, but we haven't sat you at a table near everyone else, so you have to wear a mask.
Stupid.
Don't let them take your rights away,
Governor. I am not going to wear a mask in between bites.
Don't let them take your rights away, John.
I'll wear a mask, just not in between bites.
It's dumb. I agree, and I love that. Well, I don't really love that state, but it's my home state, and it's stupid.
Stupid. Keep your rights. Stupid. Right?
Yeah. No.
Thank you. Good night.
Keep your rights, John. Don't let them take them away from you.
I'm not. And the press box is next. They're not taking my rights away.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save